Santa's not the only one delivering joy this season. Unwrap a new home with help from your Las Vegas Realtors. More than 15,000 members are ready to show you. There's no place like new home for the holidays.
Cyber Monday is on at Blinds.com. Transform your windows and get your home ready for the holidays with up to 50% off site-wide. Plus, doorbuster deals on popular styles at Blinds.com. Blinds.com is the number one online retailer for custom window treatments. Go DIY and do it all 100% online, or choose white glove service with expert design guidance and professional installation for a seamless start-to-finish experience. Whether it's blackout, motorized, sheer, or solar, you'll find massive deals at Blinds.com on premium brands that make any room feel warm and inviting. With Blinds.com, you can browse online, order free samples, and schedule professional measure and install with vetted experts. Backed by award-winning designers and thousands of five-star reviews, Blinds.com has helped millions pull off that wow reveal before the guests arrive. Hurry, Blinds.com's Cyber Monday Super Sale won't last long. Shop now and save up to 50% site-wide and get a free professional measure. Limited time offer, restrictions apply.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
We're back with more Judson Richards on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
The Chicago Bears, one of the biggest surprises in the NFL this season, will move to 8-3. Victory formation for Chicago.
Not the same old Bears. Ben Johnson's been saying it all year long. Kevin Byard's been saying it all year long. These are not your same old Chicago Bears.
They are 8-1 in their last 9 games. They hold off the Steelers 31-28.
Now it's the final call on CBS as the Bears beat the Steelers 31-28. It's a good, better, best. I said two betters. That's because they are playing that well. It's a good, better, best Monday on 670 The Score. Again, those highlights courtesy of CBS. We are broadcasting live from the Score Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. You're listening to a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Busey Bank and Great Clips. Judson Richards here with you. The Bears, again, atop the NFC North. Just taking a look at where they stand as of now. This is a team, again, not only are they atop the division as we are making our way to Thanksgiving, believe it or not, but if you were to take a look at the conference, there are only two teams that are ahead. Check that. There's only one team with a better record than the Bears. That is the Los Angeles Rams, who are 9-2. Matthew Stafford playing an incredibly high rate. People telling me that he may be chasing an MVP trophy. Sure. But the Eagles at 8-3, the Bears at 8-3, and that is our matchup on Friday. A Black Friday, a Bears Friday coming up in just about 5 days away. And so that's where the Bears are. The Bears are playing meaningful teams the rest of the way, meaning teams that are virtually in it. Every single one of them, except for the Cleveland Browns. The Bears will have the Eagles on Friday. Then they will have the Packers the following Sunday. Then the Browns. Then the Packers again. Then it's the 49ers. And then it's the Lions. Yes, five. Check that, four, since they play one of them twice. Four of the five remaining teams are ultimately in the playoff hunt while facing the Packers twice. But the game that we watched yesterday, I mean, you talk about a team. I know that the Steelers did not have their starting quarterback. Would you rather have to play your backup quarterback or about be missing six starters on your defense? I mean, which would you have traded? Some of you out there may have been rooting to see what Tyson Bagent could have done against a decimated Steelers team. But the Bears, no starting linebackers. And Tyreek Stevenson went out early in the first half, so they had none of their top three cornerbacks, with Jalen Johnson out, Kyler Gordon out, and then losing Tyreek Stevenson as well. And don't forget Dio Odangbo. He was lost a number of weeks ago for the season. Again, a defense just decimated. Bears did not have their starting left tackle. Theo Benedict was out, although Ozzie Trapillo, I think he played serviceably, if not better than that, for them to get the victory. What I found myself thinking about with this Bears team is not only has Ben Johnson, Mr. Good, Better, Best, changed the expectations of what is happening in that locker room, where now we are watching winning expectations, but they have also changed our expectations, whether it be media or fan base. Because the expectations that you have felt so long as a Bears fan, specifically the last couple of years under Matt Nagy, if we want to make this recently, and of course under Matt Eberflus, perhaps the John Fox era, perhaps the Mark Trestman era, there was our expectations of, well, they're not going to be able to pull this one out. Well, they're going to find a way to lose it. And you know what? Your expectations, they are not that different of those same feelings and expectations in the locker room of the team that you are watching. Because when you have the, uh-oh, here we go again, very often, those players on the field, those habits that have been built into them, their expectations also feel the here we go again. So those are the expectations, let's call them the old ones. The new expectations, the winning expectations, where we on the couch, I'd like to think, or you at Soldier Field, I'd like to think, your expectations are either beginning to change or have changed for a team that has accumulated winning ways. And just as you are feeling differently, it is clear as day that they are feeling differently. Now, why does winning expectations matter? Because that means you'd like to hope that no matter what comes of this season, and even if they go 3-3 the rest of the way, hell, even if they go 2-4, it's a 10-win team. If they go 3-3, this is an 11-win team and are most likely playing a playoff game. But what you want are those expectations built into the fabric of the program, the fabric of who the Chicago Bears are. So when minicamp begins, when OTAs begin, when training camp begins, those expectations are set. How do you do that? When your drafted players meet the new Bears, when your free agents meet the new Bears, they fall in line or they fall out. And that's how you set expectations. And that's something that I think that it has been remarkable what Ben Johnson has done. I mean, honestly, I made the analogy in the offseason that Ben Johnson wasn't turning around a jet ski out there in Lake Michigan. He was turning around a cruise line. What's the difference? Well, a cruise line takes a long, long time to turn around. Why? Because the Bears had one winning season in a decade, or in 12 years. They had one winning season in 12 years. And they had averaged 5 wins over the previous 3 years. It is not an easy thing to do, because you are looking at, well, what players fits best for his system? And how quickly can he get everyone up to speed? And can he find the coaching staff that he wants? Things are far from perfect from what we've been watching. We understand that. But imagine, as he is trying to get everyone in line, and really the first thing I think he did was hire Dennis Allen, may have been the best thing that he's done. Not just defensively. They're not setting the world on fire defensively. They certainly are in takeaways. But helping him understand the role as a head coach, and also really probably be able to not have to think a lot about what's happening in those defensive coaching rooms and being confident in Dennis Allen. But what Ben Johnson has done is he has drastically changed expectations. And if you're going, Matt Nagy had club dub. Matt Nagy had the boom. He had his thing in his first year. They were 12-4. How do we know that this isn't going to end like this? How do I know I'm not just watching a carbon copy of what happened in 2018 with a first-year head coach and a second-year quarterback in Mitch Trubisky? Well, let's hear from a guy that was on that team. Here's Kyle Long on CBS after the Bears' victory.
And I mean, if you look up at the beginning of this game in the way that the Bears came out of the tunnel, came out of the huddle at the beginning of the game, the ball was out of Caleb's hands. It was in his star player's hands quickly, being able to matriculate the ball down the field with explosive plays. This is the version of the Chicago Bears offense that we have been begging for as Bears fans. And you said your Chicago Bears. I would argue this team that we're watching week to week that have won 8 of their last 9 are nothing like the Bears that I was on.
Right.
This team, every single week when they come out of the tunnel, they feel, they believe that they have a chance to win. And that's because of Ben Johnson. It's because of Caleb Williams. And I just feel like this team is playing for one another.
So don't let me have to tell you this is different than 2018. Allow Kyle Long, who was on that team in 2018, to tell you this is nothing like the team that I was on. And we are also watching a quarterback that is growing and learning. I heard a stat yesterday because there's been so much made of Caleb Williams getting under center, meaning putting his hands underneath the guy, the lineman with the ball, and then operating through play action. Play action means you are faking a handoff to the running back. It is something that Caleb Williams, how about this? What I just laid out for you, do you know how many times he did that under Lincoln Riley at 1 year at Oklahoma and 2 years at USC? He did it only 6 times did he actually throw the ball under center in play action. It takes a lot of learning, and he's been doing it really, really well. Speaking of learning, thought this was great. Matt Ryan on CBS laid out why it's important that he's able to do that.
I think it does a couple of things. Number one, I think it improves your timing as a passer. When you are under center, you are forced to move your feet faster.
There you go.
So if you're taking a 5-step drop from under center, those feet have to be up and down. And I believe there's a rhythm that gets imprinted into your brain when you're under center of what the actual timing looks like.
Yeah, because the receivers, the pass catchers also are on timing with the routes.
So steps, just for instance, if you're throwing an out route, a 12-yard out route, we'd oftentimes say it's a six-step route.
Yep.
A six-step route for a wide receiver.
Yep.
Well, it's a 5-step drop and the plant. So I'm 1 step shorter than what the receiver is, which means the ball has to be out as soon as that back foot hits, so the ball's on time.
So by the time I turn my head, that ball is already in the air.
Correct. If I were in the gun, it's only 3 steps. It's only 3 steps that I'm taking while the receiver is taking 6. So you can be a little slower with your timing. I just think being under center for young players ingrains the timing and the rhythm aspect of the passing game. And I think we're starting to see that with Caleb.
Yeah.
I think the ball is coming out of his hand and he knows where it's supposed to go and it's coming out in timing and rhythm. I think that's excellent. I think the other thing, you said it, you said coaching matters. Coach, you've talked about this all the time. It also makes drafting matter, right? Good coaches make draft picks come to life. And I think you're seeing that in Chicago right now.
Yeah. You know, there's another thing, too. It's a very simple one, but when a quarterback is under center and goes back to hand off the football or is faking it, he actually can hide the ball with his body when he turns around. If you're in shotgun, you somewhat are already showing the ball of what you're doing. You can keep it, but it is just more challenging under center. So that is just a very simple thing that can help a running game, whether or not he's actually going to give it to the running back or not in play action. But good stuff there from Matt Ryan on CBS. Caleb Williams working through the very, very teachable things as he's going to get better at those, playing on time and in rhythm with a guy who already has all the intangibles. Once they can combine him having a complete ownership of the offense versus his natural and innate ability, what did Ben Johnson say? Man, then we're cooking with gas. Let's get the reaction from Patrick Manley, Olin Kreutz, and Mike Mulligan from our postgame show.
They won, and that's all that matters on a game where they were compromised defensively, where there were some issues in the game, and the Bears pulled it out, and Caleb, excellent performance by the end of the day, just extraordinary to see all the ups and downs, and the result. 8-3 says it all.
Yeah, streaky Caleb, right? You know, there was some, you follow Twitter, you watch the game, everybody's, you know, yelling at him for missing throws, and he gets hot. I think that was going on in our text chain. Just an up-and-down game for him, fumbling in the end zone. But, guys, they did what they needed to do. They gave that defense, who was missing everybody, a 10-point lead going into the fourth quarter, and they held on. They did their job. You know what I mean? They scored 31 points. The other thing we talked about, Ben Johnson talked about as well, can you get points off takeaways? And they did. They scored 2 touchdowns. To me, that was the difference in the game. You know, they basically spoke it into existence, saying we need to score after takeaways, and they did it. We also talked in the pregame, and Olin, you and I were wrong that the Bears were going to lose, but I love being wrong about this. Why you got to put me first? Speak for yourself. That was just using proper grammar, right?
Why don't Why don't we talk about the guy that was right? Why are we concentrating on the negative?
We'll get to you, Mully. We'll get to you in a second. But, I mean, they did it, right?
Mully, you see why the Piccolo avoided this guy during his career.
I never voted for you.
Hey, Pat, man. I mean, Mully, what a win. Exciting. What a win for the Chicago Bears. Just overcoming all those injuries. Dennis Allen, take a bow. The things he did with the guys he had out there on defense, the linebackers, and then Hippolyte goes down right early in the game.
Yeah.
And we're all wondering who the hell is going to come in the game now. But, you know, and seven of their Steelers' 28 points is from the offense. So the defense gives up 21 points today, right? Mm-hmm. And really just Wright continues his performance with that interception early in the game, run stopping, doing different things. He drew the holding call on DK Metcalf, although the Steelers did come back and score there. And then, Pat, to your point on offense, scoring on takeaways. But I also thought putting the ball in Caleb's hands down there in the red zone, letting him throw the ball, right, letting him find Colson Loveland. We talked about finding Colson Loveland there in the red zone, finding DJ Moore. The 25-yard pass to DJ Moore was scheme. I thought that on that drive, I thought Ben Johnson just purely out-schemed the Pittsburgh Steelers when he came out in 12, and you saw that the Steelers linebackers, Herbig and Watt, were in coverage. Things like that that Ben Johnson does. Really impressive to watch today. This is a good Chicago Bears football team, guys. Might have to come to grips with that, right? You give the team, not give, but they create a play. They create a takeaway in the end zone. Herbig jumps on it. Watt causes the fumble. 7 points. Tyreek Stevenson goes out during the game. You're watching this game. You're thinking, how are the Chicago Bears going to win this football game? And, guys, they may just be a pretty damn good football team. Caleb, you know, obviously that was a mistake. You thought eventually all that running around would catch up to him. A little off sometimes. Lucky on some DBs dropping a few interceptions. But still making big plays. The Chicago Bears, again, throughout a football game, find a way to win a football game. But, guys, Pat, the special teams guys making plays, I kept checking my roster.
Yes.
Who is that? Who is that guy out there? You know, who is that? Who is that playing that position? Just really fun game to watch them compete and win.
I mean, that's incredible, Olin. You're so right. There were guys that you had really no basis of knowing. They just hadn't been on the field at all. Pretty extraordinary. Again, we talked about it in the pregame Pro Football Focus. Said before the game, said earlier in the week, that if the Bears were to win, they would have a 69% chance of making the playoffs as opposed to a 40% chance if they lost the game. And I kept seeing, I think Detroit is now going into overtime against the Giants. They're tied at 27. That would be unbelievable if you could figure out a way to get them another loss. It's just, it is the kind of thing that the Bears, these are the kind of games you wouldn't normally see them win. And there were plenty of reasons to say, well, they just were undermanned. They didn't have enough. How do you deal with it? Guys go down and you get people hurt, and that's life. And it looked like the defense was non-existent in the first half, at the beginning of the game. But lo and behold, here we are. And yet another close victory, a one-score win for the Bears, now 6-1 in one-score wins.
Yeah, guys, just the effort of this team and the way that Ben Johnson has them playing is impressive. I mean, it's just for that many backups to come in. We talked 6 starters in the pregame to come in. And I just, you know, I didn't think they had a chance against this Steelers team that had all these names on there, but they outplayed them. They out-hustled them. They played their butt off. I mean, you got to give credit to Ozzie Trapillo, left tackle, came in, played a decent game. You know, you didn't see him. You didn't hear about him that much.
Yeah.
Credit to Ben Johnson and Roshar with a good game plan of helping him a little bit, but there were times he was one-on-one and did his job. And we that's two of the best defensive ends statistically. One, T.J. Watt, best in the league, yes, but statistically, Herbig with 6.5 sacks, they did a hell of a job. The defense, okay, they gave up the run game, but they did it at the end, man. They played hard. They got it done. Brisker there at the end has the tip ball. Your players need to make plays, right? Montez Sweat with 2 sacks, a sack fumble recovery. We were asking, where is he at? I don't know why they have Darnell Washington blocking him. I mean, I know he's as big as a tackle, but he doesn't pass block like a tackle, and you're putting him against your best pass rusher. It's a little bit of a kind of shock they did that, but Montez Sweat did his job. So everybody picked up their game that needed to pick up their game, and just impressive victory by the Bears, doing it against, I know, a backup quarterback, but a team that has a lot of talent on that roster.
Yeah, and Pat, to your point, man, just the amount of injuries the Chicago Bears had to overcome to win this football game. The guys they had at linebacker, and the Steelers are trying to take advantage of that earlier by getting the ball on the perimeter to receivers and different running backs and making them make tackles. And, you know, just we had to make plays. And you're talking about Montez Sweat comes up with a sack fumble, right? Comes up with the plays that we need to win the football game, and an offense puts the ball in the end zone. A lot of the things that we talked about going into this game, and we know everybody's going to keep saying, well, you guys keep getting backup quarterbacks, you guys keep getting takeaways. Yeah, but eventually that's not luck anymore. They're just getting those takeaways, causing them. Nashawn Wright against DK Metcalf, I was worried about DK going to the game. He's a great player, right? Nashawn Wright guards him, picks off the interception, man. Just really a big win for the Chicago Bears. Mully talked about their chances of making the playoffs now. We talked about in the pregame show how many of us thought, I didn't think that they were going to be in the playoffs this year. I thought they'd be a 500 or maybe a few games below 500 football team. They continue to get better. They continue to make plays. Talk about the first touchdown pass, you know, after Nashawn Wright's interception, right, to DJ Moore. He runs a little whirly bird there. Caleb wings it in the end zone. Again, you can see, guys, we talked about this year, TJ Watt is right there. He reaches his hand out. Looks like he's shocked that ball gets by him, right? Like, I can't believe how fast this quarterback just threw the ball. I was texting a guy who knows quarterbacks during the game, and I was like, who would you compare Caleb's arm strength with in the NFL? Maybe only Mahomes, right? Or maybe only Patrick Mahomes. Wow. When you watch the way he throws the football, and I know people are going to question the turnover for a touchdown, Pat, like you talked about, and some of the accuracy issues. But Chicago Bears overall, eventually you just got to tip your cap to how hard they fight, how hard they play, how much they bought into Ben Johnson as a head coach. And there's one more name that I think you have to mention as you go through all these guys, Ozzie Trapillo at left tackle, different guys at linebacker, Hippolyte coming out, Nashawn Wright, right? Yes. McLeod, you got to mention Ryan Poles and his team and the guys that he's drafted and the roster that he put together. That right now they signed all those old linemen, and you see Monungai walking into the end zone because they push all the D linemen all the way through the end zone. Fun team to watch right now play at Soldier Field. The Chicago Bears really are turning into a football team that can win with injuries, with mistakes, with different things going on, finding ways to win football games.
And you know, while we are accurate in the fact that on the two takeaways they scored touchdowns, if you count the missed fourth down, they scored a touchdown off that. That, in its own way, was like a takeaway, stopping them on fourth down, getting the ball, and scoring a touchdown there. So I think that it was very it was a well-done job. It was far from a perfect game. We all know what the problems were and the issues in the game, but hopefully this team is going to get healthier. Hopefully they're going to get more players back sooner rather than later. And again, with another victory, with eight wins, you're looking at this possibility of you need a couple more and you're in the playoffs. And it really should feel good to everybody who is listening to this show.
Yeah, and Caleb, like we said, didn't play his best game. He was streaky, but guys, three touchdown passes, zero interceptions.
Yep. Yep.
Okay, one sack, that's a hurt, right? That's a bad, bad one, right? He should have, you know, dirted that or whatever. But the guy is 8-3. You know, that's the number one stat. The great quarterbacks, what do you ask? How do they win? How many wins do they have? You just got to give him credit. He keeps winning. And that's what we haven't had around here in a while. And he's not turning the ball over, and he's winning. So growth is coming. And it's kind of scary because, you know, we talked about in the pregame too. He missed the two deep balls early last week. And it's going to be hypercritical watching Caleb, right? We want greatness. We want a perfect game. He still has a chance to get there, and they're winning. So what's it going to be like if he does get there? That's what excites me. So, you know, Caleb is going to get criticized for some of the plays today, but he still wins, and three touchdowns and zero interceptions, which is impressive.
Really is. Really was an impressive game by him. And, you know, they talked about going into those drives where he controls himself and all that yoga breathing and whatever they were talking about. But you can see that he is growing, and him and Ben Johnson, and it just is turning into a good match, a good pair of, you know, run the ball, play action pass, under center, things that people said he was not good at last year. And we even saw the delay a game, right, late in the game. That wasn't good. It wasn't good right there. Quarterback management, managing the clock, especially in a critical part of the football game. And I'm sure that him, you know, just you're going to have to, it's easier to learn through a win than it is a loss, right? And the defense has to come on the field. And they were talking about, Patty, you know better than me, but Boswell's actually his field goal range, right? They didn't have to go very far to get him to field goal range. And Dennis Allen's unit stands up, and Brisker and Jared get two tip passes there at the end of the game to seal the football game. Just guys, I mean, you can name names again, finding ways to win football games, right? Finding ways to make plays, as Mully talked about, stopping them on fourth down, right? I don't know, maybe the Steelers, I think they might have been trying to do that handoff, and the up back didn't know. I think they were trying to do that on the first tush push, right? And that's why he didn't go right away. And then he tried to get it. But then on the second one, they run that fake tush push for the sweep all the way down to the 1 yard line. But just a really fascinating team to watch them grow, Pat. Watch Caleb. What did you, like you're talking about, his accuracy problems, holding the ball a little too long. You got to know you're in the end zone, right? Can't take that sack there in the end zone. Get the ball out. I'm sure you're going to talk with the delay of game, but there are the touchdown passes. There are the third down conversions. There are the times that he is making good plays and managing a football game, and his football team is 8-3.
That's our post-game show. That was Olin Kreutz, Patrick Manley, and Mike Mulligan. Mully and Hogg coming up at 5:30 this morning, and always enjoy Olin Kreutz again on Monday after his chance had to watch a film. Looking forward to hear what Olin has to say about what he saw from Ozzie Trapillo, who played left tackle, who was in for Theo Benedict. And again, you did not hear Ozzie's name a whole lot on the broadcast. That can be a very good way to assess how an offensive lineman played. And I thought Theo seemed serviceable, if not better. So Olin Kreutz joining Mully Hall at 7 o'clock. Brad Biggs coming up at 8 o'clock. Clay Harbor with them at 9 o'clock this Monday. A reminder, you're listening to a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Busey Bank. And great clips coming up next. I've got some great statistics for you about what the Bears have accomplished over these 8 wins in 9 games that they played. Also, let's talk about Aaron Rodgers a little bit. I think that the way that Aaron went out in this game may have been even more demoralizing than if he would have played. Let's talk Aaron Rodgers. And Bears fans, who is now convinced that was not at the start of the season on Caleb Williams? Like, if you were like, I just don't see it, I don't think he's going to be the guy, and now you are convinced, tell us why. 312-644-6767. Judson Richards with you until 5 o'clock this morning. Again, the Bears atop the NFC North have not been there since 2018. As Kyle Long said yesterday, this team is nothing like the Bears team that he was on. And he said that in a very positive manner, I'm assuming, not only offensively, but he also said because of the confidence that they are playing with. If you have been swayed, if you have been convinced, let's talk about it. 312-644-6767. It's a Bears Victory Monday on 670.
Santa's not the only one delivering joy this season. Unwrap a new home with help from your Las Vegas realtors. More than 15,000 members are ready to show you. There's no place like new home for the holidays.
Cyber Monday is on at Blinds.com. Transform your windows and get your home ready for the holidays with up to 50% off site-wide. Plus, doorbuster deals on popular styles at Blinds.com. Blinds.com is the number one online retailer for custom window treatments. Go DIY and do it all 100% online, or choose white glove service with expert design guidance and professional installation for a seamless start-to-finish experience. Whether it's blackout, motorized, sheer, or solar, you'll find massive deals at Blinds.com on premium brands that make any room feel warm and inviting.
With Blinds.com, you can browse online, order free samples, and schedule professional measure and install with vetted experts. Backed by award-winning designers and thousands of five-star reviews, Blinds.com has helped millions pull off that wow reveal before the guests arrive. Hurry, Blinds.com's Cyber Monday Super Sale won't last long. Shop now and save up to 50% site-wide and get a free professional measure. Limited time offer, restrictions apply.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
At City Harvest, we believe no New Yorker has to go hungry. With your help, we're on the road every day, rescuing over 86 million pounds of nutritious food and delivering it free to millions of New Yorkers, transforming surplus food into sustenance, sustainability, and smiles, rallying thousands of New Yorkers to power a network of nourishment across our city. Feed good for our communities, our city, and our planet. Donate at cityharvest.org.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of the Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
Score.
We're back with more Judson Richards on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Do you sort of thrive off of being the villain there a little bit? Sort of enjoy that?
I'd rather not be. I mean, I'm not in Green Bay anymore. I feel like we can let bygones be bygones. Maybe I can, I guess. It's a great rivalry. I mean, in the history of all sports, you talk about the Lakers and the Celtics and the Red Sox and the Yankees. You got to talk about the Packers and the Bears. And there's been some great memories there. When I first got to Green Bay, the Bears had the all-time series lead. When I left, the Packers did. Since Jay Love has taken over, it's even gotten better. But I hope those fans can put that behind them. I'm sure they can't. Don't expect them to. But I really enjoy the city. They got great sportsmen. I grew up watching WGN on my five-channel TV back in the day, so I was a Cubs fan and a Bulls fan. How can you not be a Bulls fan unless you don't like Michael Jordan? I did. I loved him. So it was a lot of fun memories over the years playing there.
He's going to play, or isn't he? Do we really have to pixel out the bird? I don't think it's going to upset anybody. Whatever.
You know, SVP brings up an interesting point. Do we need to pixel out the bird? That was Aaron Rodgers talking to the media leading up to this week, this game that he did not play in, and that was Scott Van Pelt revisiting the highlights on SportsCenter as we did see the view, the camera angle. I hadn't seen it throughout the day, but that was it where and it's an epidemic now in the NFL. Aaron Rodgers flips off the camera before the game, and then Geno Smith, who's having a very frustrating go at it in Las Vegas, he flips off Raiders fans as he's coming off the field after their loss. And Dan Graziano of ESPN, he had a tweet that everyone seemed to really enjoy this morning when he said Aaron Rodgers arrived at Soldier Field about 20 minutes ago, walked one lap around the field, flipped off a couple of the cameras that were filming, and went back inside. He used his right hand to flip the bird, so unclear if he could do it with his left. Status for today's game still unknown. That is an epic report by Graziano.
Judson, I had a buddy of mine. He actually worked at the game today for CBS, and he said that he was on that sideline that Rodgers was walking out of, and where Stacy Dales was and all the cameras were as well when he came around and flipped off the cameras. He said it was typical Rodgers fashion, just being himself and just being, you know, not very friendly towards Chicago natives.
Oh, but he loves Chicago. They're such great sports fans. And he grew up watching WGN and he loved the Bulls. Like he does this thing. And you talk about talking to both sides of your mouth. He's like, yeah. He's like, I've had a lot of good Sundays there and Mondays there and Thursdays there. Oh, but hopefully bygones can be bygones. Like he did this back and forth thing that I found rather annoying. But it was very, very typical Aaron Rodgers. And I'm sure there were a lot of Bears fans that were like, hey, we're 7-3. Why don't we go ahead? Let's just beat Aaron Rodgers, right? We'll have a last laugh, which it wouldn't really be because Aaron Rodgers is a thing in Chicago solely because of what he did for the rival of the Green Bay Packers. But, you know, thinking about the status or thinking about how it unfolded yesterday, I found myself thinking very little about Aaron Rodgers. In fact, every time the camera went to Aaron Rodgers, I was wishing there was something about the game that was happening that they would actually show me instead of Aaron Rodgers. Like, he was an afterthought. And somewhat, is there anything more insulting when you've had the career that Aaron Rodgers has had, but you've kind of become an afterthought? And yeah, it would have been great to beat him, but doesn't it feel a little bit more demoralizing for him that the last time he's at Soldier Field, he wasn't able to impact the game at all? I only say that because it's the last time he'll ever be here. He's not going to play again. This is going to be it for him. He's going to be 42 years old in December, right? He's already got a broken wrist. He's torn his Achilles. He is winding down, and the more that he takes the field, the less and less he's going to look like when he was at the top of his game. And Aaron Rodgers recently acknowledged, yes, he wants to retire as a Green Bay Packer. When you're already talking about signing that one-day contract to finish with the team that you did everything that was memorable about in your career, that's when you know that your days are numbered. And I really do think the next time Aaron Rodgers will make big news is when he signs with the Green Bay Packers for that final contract. One note on Aaron Rodgers, by the way, this storyline I haven't been able to forget. So Ian O'Connor wrote a book on Aaron, and it's called Into the Darkness. And it is a really great book on Aaron Rodgers. And the first chapter actually talks about Aaron Rodgers' grandfather, who's a war hero. And the first sentence about Aaron Rodgers' grandfather says in 1917, he was born in, get this, Grant, he was born in Decatur, Illinois.
I think I heard something like that.
And
yeah.
Believe it or not, George Halas went to work for Decatur Staley in 1920 is when he started to take over what became the Chicago Bears.
Small world. It was meant to be.
And Aaron Rodgers' grandfather delivered newspapers around little Decatur, Illinois. So I've often thought about, did Aaron Rodgers' grandfather deliver George Halas a newspaper without George knowing that his grandson would become the greatest thorn in the history of the Chicago Bears? But after yesterday, how forgettable Aaron was in having any part of that game, that thorn has very much dulled. And the storyline yesterday is about a Bears team that is now at the top of the NFC North. And what we hope will be a much more even fight moving forward, and perhaps will be lopsided in the way of Chicago, is Caleb Williams versus Jordan Love. Enough about Aaron. Let's see how often the Bears can beat Jordan Love. That is the real storyline. But the storyline of yesterday's game was, why didn't Mason Rudolph go after the middle of the field with how many injured linebackers the Bears have? I don't know. He had a poor game, and Caleb Williams did just enough. So how many of you out there have changed your tune on Caleb? Can I give you some stats for the Bears who are 8-1? We're going to hear from Wani in just a minute. The Bears, who have won 8 of their last 9 over that stretch, they are averaging 378 yards a game. They are rushing for 145 yards a game. They have 23 takeaways over that time and just 5 giveaways. That is exceptional. Overall, the Bears are 6th in total offense. They are 2nd in rushing, and they are 8th in points. That is a young quarterback still learning how to completely operate an offense. And that is where I am at with Caleb Williams. I am a believer that Caleb is the future. And really, it's because of two things, the teachables and the intangibles. The teachables are all these things that he is still working on, where at times he's very good, playing in rhythm, playing on time, being accurate, getting rid of the ball quickly. And at times he's not. But those things that he's still working on, those are things that he will continue to get better at. I mean, think of how many penalties they had offensively early on in the season and how much better they've gotten. Think about how often he was holding on to the ball early on in the season and how much better he's gotten getting rid of it faster. Like, we are watching in real time him getting better at what is the most difficult thing in sports, I think, to do, and that's to play quarterback at a highest of high levels. And then you've got the intangibles, which you ain't teaching those to anybody. You're not teaching his foot speed. That's God-given. You're not teaching that arm strength, especially the arm strength and accuracy when on the run. And then he also has an incredible innate ability to just take care of the ball, know how to keep it out of harm's way. I understand what happened yesterday. It was his first fumbled loss the entire season, and he has just 5 interceptions all year. He is exceptional at taking care of the ball, which is a huge reason why they are 8-3. And then the final one that you can't look at, I know we want to obsess about his completion percentage. His ability to slow the game down in crucial moments. And I know we'd love to be playing with 21-point lead. The NFL is typically a one-score kind of lead. All right? If you're uncomfortable in one-score games, you better hope they're in a lot of those one-score games to give them a chance to win in a really difficult stretch to go up against the Eagles and the Packers and the 49ers and the Lions. But what Caleb is struggling with, he's still working on it and very much things he can improve on. That's the good news. The other good news is he has the intangibles. The things that you cannot teach, the things you could not give to Mitch Trubisky, right? The things that you could not give to Justin Fields. He has those things. And so that's why I don't get caught up in the completion percentage. We should just be enjoying the ride as of now. Speaking of enjoying the ride, Dave Wannstedt seems to do that, former Bears head coach. He was on the Marquee Sports Network, as he is on Sundays, and here he is saying, we're looking at a playoff team.
What are we saying? Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs. We're talking about the playoffs, coach. Can you believe that's where we're at right now at this point in the season?
We are a playoff team. When you are talking about 8 wins at this point in the season, I don't care who we're playing the remainder of the season. It doesn't matter. It's and you know what was so great about today was, you know, because it's easy in your mind to say, well, the other team did this to give us a chance and did this to give us a chance. The Bears earned this football game.
Absolutely.
And when you talk about the injuries to that defense,
come on.
I don't know.
Depleted.
I don't know if I've ever coached a game myself all the years where I had all 3 linebackers out and a couple of defensive backs out.
Good stuff from Dave Wannstedt there. By the way, let's hear from J.J. Watt. J.J. Watt during the game. Here he is on Caleb Williams.
All right, let's talk about Chicago, because the Bears, they are a surprise. They're 7-1 in their last 8 games. Caleb Williams, he's avoiding any major mistakes, and he's found a lot of fourth quarter magic.
Yeah, I think Ben Johnson is doing an incredible job of building this offense to not put too much on Caleb's shoulders. They run the ball, they have play action, and then they're also finding magic at the end of games. 5 game-winning drives this season totals their 5 wins from all of last year.
Listen, far be it from me, and that was CBS, that was J.J. Watt, Iron Eagle, far be it from me to disagree with J.J. Watt, but I completely disagree with him. Like, he said Ben Johnson isn't putting a lot on Caleb Williams' shoulders. What? This is not a simple offense. This is not make the easy throws. This is a hunt big plays kind of offense. This is an explosive play kind of offense. This is throw the ball down the field. Yes, I understand there are checkdowns that will happen in every offense. But Ben Johnson is not a safe one read like we saw on the Steelers side. I mean, that was dink and dunk to a T. No, this is, I completely disagree. Caleb Williams is asked to do the hard stuff. And he should be able to do the hard stuff. He's the number one overall pick. This text coming in from the 708. Caleb drives me crazy. Every time I'm ready to call for Ben Johnson to bench him because of his inaccuracy, he turns around and makes incredible throws and leads drives.
I don't understand the people that want to bench Caleb Williams when the team is 8-3 and he still plays to win the game.
I would also say they scored 31 points. They had 17 points at the half. They also threw it 35 times and ran it 25. So they actually threw their way more to 31 points than the other way around. I just would ask that you consider all of the things with Caleb getting up to speed 11 games into a very challenging offense to do things that he did not do in college. In fact, let's hear from Caleb Williams. Here he is after the game, talking to the media.
Caleb, you were able to find DJ twice in the end zone today.
Yep.
How do you think his presence and your connection with him really helps or improve your offense?
Yeah, I think being able to obviously get DJ going, having two touchdowns, I know is big for our confidence as relationship and things like that for this year. And then also just, you know, having you know, one of our star guys get going, you know, it only builds momentum for us as a team. And so it was good to see that. It was good to, you know, get him in the end zone a couple of times. I know he's been wanting that. And, you know, that's something that doesn't always happen, even if you're primary in routes and people cover you, all of that. So being able to get him, you know, in the zone a couple of times, we're excited for it. And we got to keep growing that and keep building on that. But, you know.
What did you see on the free play?
Yeah, they ended up just dropping DJ. Saw I think Ramsey was at safety, ended up taking the number three receiver, and the corner didn't overlap or anything like that, or the defender over DJ just dropped him and didn't run with him, and so went through the read, you know, went middle first, went to DJ, and he ran a great route, just threw him a ball, and you know, he made a great play.
Caleb, the strip sack.
Yep.
I know it's probably, as a quarterback, hard to just go down for safety, but is that what you're supposed to kind of do in that spot? Or?
Yeah, it's what I'm supposed to do is just throw the ball away. In that situation, just throw the ball away, live to fight for another down, and that's it.
How do you look at a game like this? You had the three touchdown passes. You guys had an opportunity to put them away.
Yep.
You get the win. I mean, how do you kind of balance that as you assess yourself?
You don't apologize for any wins in this league, and I think that's a historic organization over there, and they got a bunch of great athletes, a bunch of great coaches, and things like that. So, like I said, you don't apologize, but you do understand where you can be as a team, what we could have done out there. And that's the frustrating part. It starts with me, and, you know, it funnels down everybody else. You know, missing a few passes and a couple, you know, passes that, you know, recently that I've been, you know, kind of just surgical with, and missed those passes today, and it was frustrating. But, you know, trying to stay positive for the guys, just knowing what type of game it's going to be. You know, they were running the ball well and things like that, and so they were using a lot of clocks. So we weren't going to have many possessions, and so trying to be positive for those guys and, you know, not get too frustrated in those situations. And then from there, we got to, you know, it's I said it before, we got to learn from it's nice when you get to learn from wins, and, you know, you find ways when you have mess ups or all these different things to find ways to win, but also understand that we have so much left in the tank and we can be so much better.
Montez, it's not the same old Bears right now. Do you feel the idea of kind of turning the tide here?
Yeah, I mean, we're an 8-3 team in the National Football League, we feel good where we're at, but we do got to get better. And I would say, yeah, we don't feel like we're the same old Bears. We pull through for each other when it matters most, and so we got to keep getting better. Like I said, it starts with me on my side, and then we'll keep growing from there.
What happened on the delay game?
Yeah, we ended up lining up wrong, and you know, trying to get it all situated, and you know, didn't want to run a bad play or a play that was all messed up from the jump, and so you know, move back a couple yards and try and go get it from there.
You said this week that you wanted to go say hello to Rodgers.
Yep.
Did that happen?
Yeah, yeah. Right after the game, we ended up saying hello. You know, get healthy, and and moved on from there.
How important was that drive coming out of halftime? I think you went 5-for-5.
Yep.
So just coming out of that first half, like, what did that drive mean from before?
Yeah, it was good for us just because kind of how right before half kind of played out. To be able to get the momentum going back in our favor and things like that and you know, get moving along back where we want to, you know, kind of get going. And, we got to have more of those from my side to running to whatever it is. We, you know, overall, just offensive, we got to have more of those because we got a bunch of talent. We got, you know, great coaches and, you know, they were, you know, doing a great job today. And like I said, we got to have more of those.
The locker room seemed a little tamer today than it's been at the other wins. Is that just a sign of you guys getting kind of used to and expecting these kind of outcomes?
No. You don't ever get used to winning. You know, it's one of the best feelings in the world, and so you don't get used to it. I think y'all just kind of came in a little late. Everybody was dancing and having fun, going around shaking hands, you know, celebrating and congratulating each other and, you know, showing appreciation to each other because it takes all of us. And that's something that we said in the locker room. It takes a village. And, you know, it's we had guys step up and step up big for us today. And, you know, you can't, like I said, you never get tired of those, and you can't get tired of those, these type of wins.
You were proud of guys stepping up, obviously, mm-hmm. watching that defense today do what they did with a lot of guys getting their numbers called. What was that like?
Yeah, it's what we needed, and so we didn't expect anything less. But we are appreciative. We are proud of the guys that did step up because it was a big game for us. You know, because this was the only game we had this week, and so you know, being able to focus on that, being able to, you know, get everybody, you know, going, having confidence, having belief in themselves is important. And then from there, we got to go out there and execute. And, you know, the guys did a great job today.
You mentioned some frustration with your accuracy.
Yep.
When you're in a funk like that, how do you pull out?
Yeah, you next play mindset, and then from there you just got to go out there and execute. Today, I just in the beginning it didn't feel like I got into a, you know, a good rhythm. I was missing passes and it was you know, it was kind of weird. It was just, you know, I wasn't too frustrated like, you know, the couple weeks ago where I was just missing and I got supremely frustrated and things like that. You know, I understood, you know, and I wrote on my notes for myself to stay positive for myself, but also the guys. And, you know, I think I did a solid job with that this week. And, you know, just was missing. And it was, like I said, on passes and routes that I've been hitting the past couple of weeks and been pretty good with. And so, you know, we'll figure it out. We'll go back and watch and figure out why.
Yeah, what about that first kind of stuff by the defense, that fourth one, touch push situation? You know, it was big, you know, goal or fourth down stand. Mm-hmm. What did that do for the offense then?
Yeah, it's great in those moments. You know, those are momentum plays, especially when you know the defense gets going and, you know, they make a big play like that for us. And, you know, we want to go down and score, whether it's turnover on downs, a big fourth down stop and things like that, or, you know, it's the turnovers that they get for us. And so, you know, we'll keep doing a good job with it and, you know, doing a better job with it in those moments. But it is a momentum shifter and things like that for us.
What were you seeing over the middle of the field today? You know, all three of those touchdowns came that way.
Yeah. I think, you know, this year, I think I've been, you know, pretty solid over the middle. It's something that we've worked on and something I've been working on, you know, this year, but also throughout my career, is just, you know, finding ways to be able to attack all 53, you know, and make the defense have to cover all of that. And so, you know, I think today, coach did a great job calling the plays. You know, the guys did a great job running great routes, and the O-line, they did a hell of a job today. That one sack was on me, but they did a hell of a job today protecting me versus that D-line. And so, you know, with that being said, just deliver a good ball and let the guys go make plays for us.
Is it too early for Bears fans to start thinking playoffs?
You know, for them, if they want to think that, that's fine. But for us, it's just the next game. And like I said, you know, if we go 1-1, which is 1-0, you know, in each week, we'll be exactly where we want to be, and they'll be here, you know, supporting us, cheering us on like they always do. Awesome. Okay. The Bears.
I don't mind talking about playoffs. According to playoffstatus.com, the Bears are now a 72% chance to get into the playoffs. That number skyrocketed with the win over the Steelers. Why? Because the Bears have a very difficult schedule coming up. So if you could steal one against Mason Rudolph and the Steelers, that would drastically change what you need to do coming up in front of you. And that's what the Steelers did yesterday. Let's check that. That's what the Bears did yesterday, beating the Steelers with a final of 31-28. And as far as Caleb and his inaccuracies, just a couple of numbers. Well, the first number is the Bears scored 31 points and won. They also were 7 of 13 on third down efficiency, made some good plays, some good throws there. They also were 3 for 3 in the red zone, which was a big issue a week ago, which the Bears cleaned up, and that will drastically help you break that 30-point mark. Coming up next, let's talk about those upcoming games. Let's talk about what we expect from the Bears moving forward with those 6 games remaining and the 4th most difficult, checked out the 3rd most difficult schedule, strength of schedule the rest of the way. That's coming up. This is 670 The Score.
Santa's not the only one delivering joy this season. Unwrap a new home with help from your Las Vegas realtors. More than 15,000 members are ready to show you. There's no place like new home for the holidays.
Cyber Monday is on at Blinds.com. Transform your windows and get your home ready for the holidays with up to 50% off site-wide. Plus, doorbuster deals on popular styles at Blinds.com. Blinds.com is the number one online retailer for custom window treatments. Go DIY and do it all 100% online, or choose white glove service with expert design guidance and professional installation for a seamless start-to-finish experience. Whether it's blackout, motorized, sheer, or solar, you'll find massive deals at Blinds.com on premium brands that make any room feel warm and inviting. With Blinds.com, you can browse online, order free samples, and schedule professional measure and install with vetted experts. Backed by award-winning designers and thousands of 5-star reviews, Blinds.com has helped millions pull off that wow reveal before the guests arrive. Hurry, Blinds.com's Cyber Monday Super Sale won't last long. Shop now and save up to 50% site-wide and get a free professional measure. Limited time offer, restrictions apply.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
At City Harvest, we believe no New Yorker has to go hungry. With your help, we're on the road every day, rescuing over 86 million pounds of nutritious food and delivering it free to millions of New Yorkers, transforming surplus food into sustenance, sustainability, and smiles, rallying thousands of New Yorkers to power a network of nourishment across our city. Feed good for our communities, our city, and our planet. Donate at cityharvest.org.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media, and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop. We've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life, and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.